Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this fourth day of February, 2023. Happy Sabbath also to those that are joining us on the phone or listening to the recording, and glad to have you in fellowship with us. Our opening song is titled, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think that God is Son of Sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee,
Amen. Beautiful, dear ones. And we're going to find out more just how great our God is in the sermon today. But first, please join with me in opening prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for thy great wonders, for the many blessings that you've showered upon this earth and thy people. We thank you most of all for the great blessing of sending your son Jesus to come down and to take our place on receiving the penalty of death that we might receive his life and be with him for eternity. Thank you for this wonderful plan of salvation. And please help us to understand it more clearly. Help us to recognize that it's your desire that we live with you forever, but we have to be willing to give sin up that we might receive the righteousness of our Savior and be saved. Help us to see the change in life that needs to occur, and thank you for the grace, the strength, the encouragement, the help to enable this change to occur, that we might go from death to life, from sin to righteousness, and be with you forever. We pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests with each listening heart. And Spirit, open our eyes, our understanding to comprehend wondrous things out of the word of truth today. Uplift the Savior before us and to recognize just how great he is. And thank you for doing so. We pray for those that were unable to attend. Please grant them a wonderful Sabbath blessing and rest. Bring them back into fellowship soon. Be with those that are sorrowing or sad or afflicted or struggling. Please send thy comforting spirit to be with them. Please, Savior, as their great physician, bring about healing, relief, and deliverance, and help them to recognize the loving part you played in their recovery. And thank you so much for doing so, all according to thy perfect will and timing. We thank you once again for enabling us to come apart and to fellowship together in praising our God from whom all blessings flow. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to here in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1172.htm. So lightministries.com/ID1172.htm. And our opening text can be found at quote number one. Our opening text is from Matthew 19:17. It states, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And that's what our sermon is on today, entering into life. And you can see that these involve the commandments of God. And this is the final part in this series. This is part number 3. And so as our opening text brings out, if we would have life, this is referring to both temporal life and eternal life, then the commandments of God must be kept. And last time we were able to examine commandments number 3 through 6. And we discovered that all of these commandments were very simply stated. They were very easy to understand. And yet they were very far reaching into all aspects of daily life. In fact, there was not an aspect that affects daily life that the commandments were not involved in. Now today we'll be examining the remaining 4 of these divine commandments of the Lord God, and hopefully we'll be able to see more of how to enter into life. And if you look at quote number 2, the 7th commandment is found recorded in Exodus 20 verse 14, and it states, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now the 7th commandment of this covenant revealed how God wanted his people to respect and uphold moral purity, declaring that adultery was not to be committed. So instead of God permitting his followers to give loose rein to their sexual passions like the pagan nations around them, he instead desired them to be morally pure by keeping their bodies and passions under the control of reason and to reserve any sexual intimacy for their own married spouse. But not only does this command apply to human relations with other humans, it also applies to human relationships with God. The Hebrew word for adultery is naaph, N-A-A-P-H. And this word translates and means to commit adultery, to apostatize. And that's Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Hebrew word number 5003. So it just doesn't mean adultery. It also means to apostatize. And apostatize means to abandon one's faith. And that's the dictionary definition under word apostatize. So this means that any who have chosen to enter into a covenant agreement with God to keep his commandments, they've actually entered into a relationship between God and them, similar to a marriage contract. God promises to be their faithful God, and they promise to be his faithful people. So then, if after entering into this covenant relationship with God, you should then choose not to live up to your agreement with God, not to keep your part of the covenant, would mean that you're no longer faithful and thus would be in apostasy or adultery against God. We're told in Jeremiah 3 verses 20 and 14. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. But turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. So here we see that the 7th commandment not only forbids unrestrained sexual practices, but it also forbids us breaking our covenant or an agreement with God to be his people. So that's the 7th commandment. If you look at quote number 3, the 8th commandment is found in Exodus 20 verse 15, and it says, thou shalt not steal. Now this 8th commandment of the covenant between us and God reveals how God wants you and me to respect and uphold the property rights and possessions of others. And he declares that all stealing is prohibited by his people. But it was not just the stealing of actual property or possessions of another that this commandment forbids. The Hebrew word for steal is ganav, and this word translates and means to thieve, to deceive. And that's Strong's word number 5003. So this means that any and all deception, which would actually steal away the truth from others, is also prohibited by this commandment. So not just stealing possessions, but also stealing the truth is forbidden. So that's the 8th commandment. The 9th commandment is found recorded in Exodus 20 verse 16. And this commandment states, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now this 9th commandment of the covenant between us and God reveals how he wants his people to respect and uphold the truth, declaring that we're not to bear false witness against our neighbor. Now, the Hebrew word that's used for false is shakir, and this word translates and means an untruth, a sham, falsehood, or lie. That's Strong's word number 8267. The Hebrew word for witness is ed, ed. And this word translates and means a witness, testimony, recorder. That's Strong's word 5707. And so this means that God prohibits his people from lying, from telling untruths, from spreading falsehoods under any conditions, whether they are a witness to some event or are giving testimony about some person or group or writing and recording something about another person. All of God's followers should be very careful in all that they say or write about their neighbors. But this restriction against all forms of lying includes more than just the people living next door to you. The Hebrew word for neighbor is reya, R-E-Y-A. And this word translates and means an associate, whether close or not, a brother, companion, friend, fellow, husband, lover, neighbor, or another. And that's Strong's word number 7453. So this prohibition against all forms of lying and spreading falsehoods includes every person that God's followers have any form of contact with, whether these people are close to them or far away from them. So God doesn't care whether the people are family or relatives, are lovers, companions, friends, associates, or the people next door. He doesn't care whether these people are close in relationship to you or very distant. He doesn't care whether they're complete strangers, whether they're of your same race, of your same nation, whether they're of your same faith or religion, color, class. He doesn't care. This commandment prohibits all forms of lying and spreading of false information about anyone else without limitations or conditions. So even if they're your enemy, you can't lie about them to others. But this commandment did not just prohibit all forms of untruths or falsehoods being personally spoken or written or otherwise provided by you about another. This commandment prohibits listening to all falsehoods being told to you about others as well. The Hebrew word for bear, thou shalt not bear, is ana, A-N-A-H. And this word translates and means to heed, to pay attention, to testify, to announce, to hear, to utter. And that's Strong's word number 6030. So not only did this commandment prohibit God's people from themselves bearing or uttering false information about another, but it prohibits them also from hearing or paying attention to false information being told them about another. And then went even further by prohibiting them from giving heed to what they were told and then announcing or uttering it to others. So telling as well as listening to all forms of gossip, storytelling, evil surmising, exaggeration of statements about others are prohibited by this commandment. And dear ones, how quickly would character-destroying gossip die out for lack of eager listeners if all kept this ninth commandment in its fullness? And that would be wonderful. A lot more peace instead of turmoil by all the gossip going forth. So that's the ninth commandment. Now the tenth commandment, the very last commandment, is found recorded in Exodus 20 verse 17. And this commandment states, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And we've seen that neighbor's is not just the person that lives next door. So this tenth commandment of this covenant between us and God reveals how he wanted his people to respect and uphold contentment with what he had already given them, declaring that they were not to covet their neighbor's house or his wife, servant, animals, or anything that he owned. And in being content with whatever possessions you already have, would eliminate envy and jealousy over the spouse, property, or possessions of anyone else, no matter how beautiful and pleasing to the eye all these things might be. So then this commandment would eliminate the trap of overspending or borrowing in order to keep up with the Joneses, and then having to overwork in order to pay the bills that such selfish indulgence brought about in the first place. So this commandment was actually promoting economy and the need to live within your own means. And then the contentment it brought was producing peace, rest, and health among God's people. So again, very simply stated, but very comprehensive in its application. So these are the Ten Commandments that the mighty Lord God himself spoke and then wrote down with his own finger that were to govern his people. And it wasn't just his people at that time. It was his people for all time. And I think you can see some of the broadness and the far-reaching aspects that each commandment had in the daily lives of God's people. Now, as you examine these commandments, you'll notice that they can actually be divided into two main areas. And if you look at quote number 6, the first four commandments you can see are dealing with our relationship with God. Have no other gods before me, etc. But when you look at the last six commandments, you'll see that they're not dealing with God, but are dealing with other human beings. It's dealing with relationships with other humans. So the first four commandments deal with our commitment to God. It shows us who he is and his supremacy in our lives. It shows us how to worship him, how to communicate with and about him, and how to spend our time with him. And the last six commandments deal with governing our interactions with others, showing that we are to respect and uphold authority, life, moral purity, possessions and property of others, the truth, and contentment. And since these commandments can be divided into two main areas, and these commandments were written upon two tables of stone, then it's easy to understand that the first four commandments were written upon one tablet of stone, front and back, and the remaining six were written upon the second tablet, front and back. But as you continue examining these commandments, you'll see that there's one common principle running through each one. And actually, this principle binds them all together into a complete whole law. And that principle is love. The first four commandments deals with our love to God. The last six deals with our love to our fellow human beings. And there's also one common area which all Ten Commandments were specifically directed against. And that area was selfishness. Or doing your own will, either against the will of God or against other human beings. So this law of God led those who follow it to deny self by loving God supremely and to deny self by loving their fellow human beings as themselves. So if all 10 of these commandments were followed, then it would produce perfect peace, perfect rest, perfect happiness, contentment, and prosperity. And it would eliminate envy, unrest, disorder, rebellion, and chaos. So while on the one hand, God's law upheld righteousness and moral purity in the daily life of his people, on the other hand, it restricted and downplayed the wicked desires of their fallen sinful nature throughout their daily life. And there was not an area in daily life that the law of God did not include, which is quite amazing. All Ten Commandments are seen to be so broad and far-reaching that a person could not give in to selfishness without breaking one of the commandments in some way. Nor could they choose to deny self without keeping one of the commandments in some way. And as these commandments are seen to be so broad and far-reaching that it affects every aspect of daily life, then all 10 formed a complete governing law. And in fact, so complete is this law of God that each one of these commandments are not isolated from each other, but are all closely connected together. Each one is seen to interweave and blend with the others until they form a complete whole. So even though God's covenant is made up of 10 distinct commandments, they all blend into each other, thereby making up just one body of law, So no one could be considered obedient to God if they neglected to keep all Ten Commandments. Because to ignore or refuse to obey just one of the commandments would make you a breaker of the whole law, or the other nine as well, because they're so intricately related and interconnected with each other. Now, let me give an example of this interconnectedness between the commandments. If one of God's followers, let's say Joe, if Joe decided not to worship God on his Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week or Saturday, then Joe would have clearly broken the fourth commandment. And by Joe choosing to do his own pleasure on God's rest day, then he would be making his own desires to be greater than following the will of God, thereby making his own desire into a god, and thus Joe would be breaking the second commandment. Joe would also be placing his own will as a supreme god before the Lord God, and thus Joe would be breaking the first commandment as well. Now, as the Sabbath day itself is the day of the Lord, he calls it his holy day, but Joe wanted to do his own thing upon Saturday, then Joe would actually be coveting what belongs to God, and thus he would be breaking the 10th commandment. Since Joe chose not to devote this day to worshiping God, then he has actually stolen time away from God that should have been given to him. Thus, Joe would also be breaking the eighth commandment. And neither would Joe be showing honor and respect due to God, who's manifested such fatherly love and care over him. And thus, he would also be breaking the fifth commandment. Since Joe was not keeping the seventh day as a holy worship day to God, yet he professed to be a follower of God, then he has also broken the ninth commandment, because he's falsely claiming to be a follower of God when he really is not. That's bearing false witness. Joe has also taken God's name or his character in vain and broken the third commandment, because he's not following God's example of resting upon the Sabbath day, and thus is not manifesting the same righteous character of the God whom he professes to serve. By Joe not remembering to keep the Sabbath day holy, and willingly choosing to commit sin, deserving the death penalty, because the wages of sin is death, then Joe has actually chosen death for himself, or is committing suicide, which breaks the sixth commandment. And now dealing with the last of the Ten Commandments. He's broken nine by breaking the fourth. Since he voluntarily chose to follow God, and to enter into a covenant relationship with God, Joe agreeing to be faithful to God as his bride, and God agreeing to be faithful to him as his husband. Then because Joe has chosen to break the Sabbath and is no longer upholding his part of this marriage contract or covenant to be a child of God, a follower of his, then he is no longer being faithful to his righteous God and loving husband, and has now committed sin against God. He has actually left the side of God and united himself with another who's the author of sin, and has thereby committed adultery and broken the seventh commandment. So as you can see in this example, by just breaking one commandment, all the other nine are also broken as well. We're told this very thing in James chapter 2, verse 10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of breaking all. Every aspect of our life is contained in the Ten Commandments. And if we break one, all of the law has been broken. Now this wholeness, this oneness of God's law reveals that this law is perfect in all aspects. And since anything that is perfect could have only been created by someone else who was already perfect, then this perfect law proves that God is perfect in all aspects and that there is no imperfection in God. And as this perfect law of God deals with all aspects of action and relationships towards Him and others, it then deals with character. So then this law is seen to be a perfect reflection of the perfect character of God. The law is like a written transcript of God's character. So anyone who would then follow all Ten Commandments would thereby become perfect in character like God is. But anyone who would not choose to keep all Ten Commandments would thereby not become perfect in character. So this then means that God's law is a standard between what actions are perfect versus what actions are imperfect. God's law is seen to be the deciding factor between righteousness and unrighteousness, between what is not sin versus what is sin. And if you look at quote number 7, in Psalms 119 verse 172, we're told, all thy commandments are righteousness. And in 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. So since this perfect Ten Commandment law is the standard of righteousness, and it's also a perfect reflection of God in character, then this proves that God himself has to be the author and originator of all righteousness. So then disobedience to this righteous law would be a perfect reflection of the character of the one who first disobeyed God, and that would be Lucifer. So then this would prove that Lucifer is the author and originator of all disobedience or sin, the first one to break God's righteous law. So then, if a person chooses to keep all Ten Commandments in every aspect, then they would become just like God in character, perfectly righteous. And this is what we're told. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 25, it states, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. But if a person chooses instead to disobey one or all of the commandments of God in any aspect, then they would actually become just like Lucifer in character. They would become perfectly sinful, just the opposite of God. If you look at quote number 8, in 1 John 3 verse 8, the devil sinneth from the beginning. So if we choose to break God's law, we then commit sin and become like the devil in character. So this shows us that this perfect law of God is the deciding factor between those who serve God versus those who serve Lucifer. God's perfect law is seen to be the standard to judge between those who are following God versus those who are following Lucifer. So as this is true, then there really is no need for anyone to deceive themselves by hiding behind an empty name or profession alone. There's no need. All they have to do is compare their lives to God's law. And there's also no need for anyone to be deceived by someone professing to be a follower of God when they're really a follower of Lucifer. All you need to do is examine your own life and actions or the life and actions of another by God's perfect law. And then you'll be able to clearly see whose follower you or they really are. Any disobedience to God's great perfect law and standard is sin. And those who commit sin are not of God. We're told this very thing in 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And then in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. So any disobedience of God's Ten Commandment law is sin. And if you sin, you're not of God. So this law was perfect and complete in itself. We've seen that it was bound together into such a whole law that one part could not be violated with breaking all the rest of the law in the same violation. We've seen that it's the standard of judging between who is worthy of blessings or who is worthy of cursings. And we've seen that God's law is the deciding factor between what is righteousness versus what is sin. So all these things should prove to any thinking person, whether they're an Israelite or not, that God's law is of divine origin. It could not have been produced from any sinful human's mind. It has to be from above, not from this earth. Now, since God's Ten Commandment law was a covenant, and promising to keep his law was the terms necessary to enter into a compact or a league with God to be his people and he becomes their God, then it's really quite easy to determine whether or not someone is remaining true to their covenant with God. If they're keeping all of God's commandments, then they're keeping their covenant and agreement with God and are also showing themselves to be righteous in their life. But if they're breaking one or more of these commandments, then they're breaking their covenant and agreement with God and are showing themselves to be sinful in their life. So God's Ten Commandment law is the deciding factor between those who serve God versus those who serve him not. And this Ten Commandment law is also the distinguishing factor between all those who claim to be God's followers versus those who are not God's followers. Those who keep all Ten Commandments are remaining faithful to their covenant agreement with God to be his obedient people. and their obedience to all 10 proves their claim to be followers of God as true. But those who are not keeping all 10 of God's commandments are showing that they're not remaining faithful to their covenant promise with God. And their disobedience proves their claim to be God's followers as a lie. But the big question is, will you agree and pledge yourself to obey and keep all the commandments of the Lord God? Will you covenant to love and remain faithful to him as a bride would be to her husband? If you do, then Jesus will agree and pledge himself to be your God, and will also remain faithful to you as a husband would be to the one that he truly loves and adores above all others. If you look at quote number 9, we're told in Isaiah 62 verse 5, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. In 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And in Jeremiah 3 verse 14, God says, I am married unto you. Now, this is not God the Father saying that. That's Jesus saying that. And once you choose to unite with Jesus and you covenant with him to keep his commandments, then something amazing occurs. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 and verse 16, the Lord God Jesus will say to you, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And then you will say to Christ, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. My beloved is mine, and I am his. So, dear listener, choosing to keep all of God's commandments in order to have your life bound up with the life of Jesus is indeed entering into life. And if you look at quote number 10, in 1 John 5 verse 3 and verses 11 to 12, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I pray, dear ones, that you will choose to covenant with Jesus and keep his commandments so that you may be united with him in a close bond that will last forever. Dear ones, will you enter into life? Our closing song is I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my God and Savior. I surrender
all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow, worldly pleasures though forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my God and Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my God and Savior. I surrender
all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fulfill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender
all.
I surrender all.
I surrender
all to thee, my God and Savior. I surrender all.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. Oh, to thee, my God and Savior. I surrender all.
Amen. Amen. May we indeed be willing to give up anything and everything that we may win Christ as our God and Savior. Please join with me in closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for making salvation possible, and this salvation is found only in Jesus. We can't be saved by joining a church. We can't be saved by keeping the commandments of men. We can't be saved by looking within. We have to look away from ourselves, away from the church, away from the world, to Jesus in order to find salvation and eternal life. Thank you, Savior, for keeping the law perfectly and then dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our breaking of it. In you, we find righteousness and grace to keep the law of God, to have our past breaking of it forgiven through your spilt blood, and to have the peace with God that is necessary in order to be saved. Thank you, dear Savior, for being all of these things for each one of us. All we have to do is come to you, being willing to surrender everything that we may have you as our own. Help us to realize that we can't hold on to the devil and to you at the same time. We either have you and not the devil, or we have the devil and not you. There is no union, no agreement between you and Satan. And help us to realize that when we find ourselves clinging to something of the earth that keeps us from following the commandments, that we're choosing to set you aside. We no longer have you as our own. We are unfaithful to you. And that unfaithfulness breaks your commandments and makes us unfit for heaven. Thank you for being so long-suffering with us until we learn these important lessons. Help us to learn them sooner rather than later, because later may be too late. Thank you for thy great love, thy compassion, and being willing to covenant with each one of us forever. What a God you are. What a merciful Savior and Redeemer and spouse you are. Help us to be faithful, to keep our covenant with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, dear ones, that is entering into life. The law is a transcript of the character of our God and our Savior. It's the standard between what is righteous versus what is sin. It's the judging law which determines whether we're saved or lost. May we choose Christ. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies? Please feel free.
I have heard this sequence of breaking the Ten Commandments long time ago, and I've been waiting to get a second hearing this time. So I copied that down. I'm going to save that. Maybe I'll get a chance to use it. That's good.
No, praise the Lord. Go ahead, Sister Dixon.
Recently, I gave a testimony about 3 or 4 offenses that came about the same time. Told of how the air conditioner on my unit in the sunroom ran excessively at top speed for no telling how long through the night and some through the day. The temperature outside was a minus 20 degrees wind chill. The heater had broken down, etc. Make a long story short, I expressed concern about what my electric bill was going to be. Naturally, I prayed about it and had to wait and see. About the same time, I received a generous check to help with that expense from a kind fellow believer. Same time of this check, I received a statement covering this time of the air conditioner problem. To my amazement, it was $60 less than the previous billing. I did have the money to pay this bill, and I returned the check to the person and requested it be passed on to someone who needed it more than I did. Also, my tooth problem has not reoccurred. Through all these things happening at the same time, I did get the message of a reform that was needed in my life, which was lifted. So I have much to thank God for when I had a need to overcome. We cannot overcome anything on our own, but God is faithful and merciful to hear our prayers, that we may grow and be prepared for what's coming and be found in his holy city. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much for your testimony, dear sister. Praise God indeed. Are there any other testimonies or comments, questions, thoughts, songs? Please feel free.
Dear Sister Dixie, like I always say, anytime when you do a testimony, it reminds me of things that had happened as well. I had a similar situation. I had to go and pay for my glasses. It was really, really expensive. I didn't know how much it was. They have commercial that tells you you pay a certain amount for free exam, and then you have a certain amount for you to get two glasses. But anyway, I went to go and do my glasses by God's grace. And then my niece drove me to, she said, you wanted to go to Trader Joe? I said, yeah, I have to pick up some things. And God knew that the glasses alone were so expensive. And I was saying, well, Rose, when you go inside there, I'm going to pick up two things and then come out. Things then that you will not find around the area. Well, anyway, I went and I decided to be able to get my stuff. And then my niece keeps saying, you sure you wanted these things? And then I said, yeah. So she said, go ahead and do the things then that you have in case, because we need to be able to come all the way over here. But anyway, I picked up the things and I was coming back. And then I said, okay, you're just going to have to give me the bill. So she said, no, don't worry about it. You know, I got it. So then I said, can you please just tell me the amount? And then when she told me, I actually took the same amount and I sent it out to be able to be offering for those that may be of need. Thank you, Sister Dixie, for being my spiritual reminder.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you for your testimony, your sister. Go ahead, Sister Chaka.
I was just wondering if, you know, we could sing the song safely through another week.
Sure. Let me pull it here in the room. Just 1 second. Safely through another week. God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on thy wonderful Sabbath day. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest.
Mercies multiplied each hour, through the week our praise demand. Guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by his hand. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin.
While we pray for pardoning grace through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciling face, shine away our sin and shame. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night in thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with thee.
When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of thy everlasting feast. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. May the gospel joyful sound, conquer sinners, comfort saints. May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief to all complaint. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above.
Amen. And dear Brother Rodolfo, you had your mic on, but weren't quick enough to take a verse. Would you like to sing one of the verses here? Please go right ahead.
Okay, I'll take the first one. Say thee true, another week, Lord has brought. Let us now a blessing seek on my approaching Sabbath day. Day of all the week the best, and of all eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, and then all eternal rest. Thank you.
Amen, brother, and thank you. Beautiful. Well, if you remember, a couple Sabbaths ago, we were talking about the song, The Old Rugged Cross. And I mentioned that there are individuals who look at that from a spiritual aspect. We have to bear our cross after Christ, and so they see the song in that particular way. While others look at it in a more literal aspect, and they see that we're not to cling to the cross, but we're to cling to Christ. And then there was a version that dealt with that very aspect, clinging to Christ instead of the cross. Well, there was another song that came up called Near the Cross. And so you have that same situation happening where you have individuals looking at it from a spiritual aspect. Yes, we're to be near the cross because that's where we find the Savior. And that's in denying self, we're able to continue following the Savior until we have salvation. And then there's the group that looks at it from a literal aspect. We're not to be cherishing the cross. We're to be cherishing the Savior. And there is a particular version that brings that out. So we have both groups that can be happy in singing a song dealing with either the spiritual aspect or the literal aspect. So let me share the altered version for Near the Cross. This is called In the Lord. Jesus, keep me near thyself, precious fountain thou art, free to all a healing stream flows from your divine heart. In the Lord be my glory ever. He's my everlasting King and my great Redeemer.
Lost in darkness without hope, love and mercy found me. Jesus died on the cruel cross to place God's arms round me. In the Lord, in the Lord be my glory ever. He's my everlasting King and my great Redeemer. Amen.
Near thyself, O Lamb of God, I would dwell and ever be. Help me walk from day to day. Your grace and truth within me. In the Lord, in the Lord, be my glory ever. He's my everlasting King and my great Redeemer.
In the Lord.
Go ahead and sing with me, Brother Dick.
Now look, I'm trying to sing the harmony. Where'd the melody go?
Till I walk through heaven's gate, my Lord forever. In the Lord.
Be my glory,
he is my everlasting,
and my great redeemer.
Thank you. Praise God.
How does it sound, Bob? Was there a big lag?
Even with the lag, it was beautiful. So praise God indeed. So now we have both versions for those who see it spiritually and those who see it literally. So praise God for his merciful kindness. Are there any other songs or comments, thoughts, testimonies that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
I love the singing. And I think when we get to heaven, we'll not only have solos, duets, trios, quartets, quintets, maybe even octets, we don't know, but there'll be many people singing, Jesus and God included, and all the angels. What a choir that'll be. Amazing.
I would like to share a scripture song. This is the scripture that I used to sing to Joshy when he was very little, until when he could have sing it for himself. This is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 23. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continuously upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thy goings, it shall lead thee. When thy sleep, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandments is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproof of instructions of the ways of life. Proverbs 6. 22-23.
Amen. And for those that would like to hear the fourth commandment, in scripture song, let me sing it for you again. Remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Exodus 20 verse 8 through 10. Are there any last comments or thoughts or songs that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones? Please feel free.
Elder Rob, can we have Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and light more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we followed him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you.
We
promise. And I will be well. Then go to a world that is perfect salvation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face, and that the things of earth will grow strengthened in the light of glory and grace. Oh, Alma. Sorry, I just have to get the lyrics.
Okay.
A request. Holy day, Jehovah's rest, of creation's week the best, last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man 'twas given. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
First his 6 days' work was done. Then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, and in resting we obey. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thousands are his plan renewing, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you will know there's no scripture tells them so. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. This the great Jehovah's rest.
All who speak the truth must say, it was the Pope who changed the day. In God's word no change appear through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail his presence blessed till the great Jehovah's rest.
Thus I search, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey, when it was the only way. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. This the great Jehovah's rest. Amen.
Amen. Praise God for his Sabbath. Well, dear ones, if there is any particular topic or subject that you would like to hear a sermon on, please feel free to send me an email and let me know what you would like to hear. And until we meet again, dear ones, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.